Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou, namahi nui kia koutou. A warm welcome to Cab On Air, a program brought to you by Citizens Advice Bureau, where we talk about your rights and where and how you can get help to support you and your whānau. Our focus is on some of the hot topics we see at Cab, and we invite other community organisations to join us and share information about their services as well. Ahi ahi marie, ko rani aho. I'm your host for today along with Tom, our technical producer. This week we're out in New Brighton visiting It Takes a Village, an organisation that provides supportive care packages for families with babies and toddlers. And we're talking with our Danny Pettit, who is its director. Welcome, Danny. Thank you for talking with us today. So maybe we could start with just a very brief intro from you, something about your background, and also maybe what attracted you to your current role, how long you've been doing it, and so forth. Whatever you care to share with us.
Kia ora, I'm Danny from It Takes a Village. I am the director, and I've been part of It Takes a Village since 2019. I'm originally from Wellington. I was a young parent at 18 and who is now 15 years old. And that's what originally got me into this, because with the people who supported me when I was a young mum, I have been now in a position where I can give back.
Exactly. And obviously that experience has given you a real understanding of what it means to be a young parent with a baby and how to manage all of the complexities of that.
Okay. It really has.
Yeah. I was really interested by the name of your organisation, Danny. So how did it come about? I've heard the term before. Tell us about it.
So It Takes a Village is an African proverb that is, it takes a village to raise a child. Our whole philosophy is around creating that village for families and individuals that do not have that village around them. Maybe that their family's overseas or they just don't have that village at all.
Right. So do you get a lot of families from overseas?
Yeah, we do. That is a statistic that is climbing for us. There is a lot of families that are rehoming and finding their new homes in New Zealand and Christchurch.
Right. And I suppose a lot of families who've relocated from elsewhere in the country?
Yeah, as well. We see a lot of relocations due to sad circumstances or just new jobs, new work, everything like that.
Okay. So remind us how long your organisation has been operating.
So we started in 2017 and our Pay It Forward pages, so It Takes a Village Canterbury and It Takes a Village North Canterbury. And through that, you can pay forward items and also give items. And what we saw was that a lot of people needed the essentials, such as clothing and bedding and stuff like that, and a lot of people that could give it, but the two weren't meeting. So that's when It Takes a Village was born, through our bundle program.
Right. So you're going to tell us about that, I'm sure. But it sounds like there's a lot of brokering, really, of two parts of the community, bringing them together. Danny, tell us about your Pay It Forward groups.
So our Pay It Forward groups is where we started, and that is the most amazing part of our community. We have two Pay It Forward pages, one for It Takes a Village Canterbury, which services the whole Canterbury region, and then we also have It Takes a Village North Canterbury, because that is also where we started. Very beginning was in North Canterbury.
Okay.
So we have quite a big base there. Across both of those pages, we have 30,000 members. So how our Pay It Forward pages work is that if somebody has something that they need to give away, they can pop it up. So if you've got a sofa lying around and you're getting a new one, there's people out there that could desperately want one. And so you pop it up on the page and people ask to be considered for it, and then they come pick it up. So it's a great way to pay it forward. It's also a place for families and individuals to ask where they can get items, or if anybody has an item. So if somebody has been asking, oh, I need some size 7 clothes for my boy, they can put up a post and say that they need it, and people go, hey, I have that sitting around in the drawers, I can definitely give you some of those. And so it's connecting people within the community. It's giving that sustainability side, that it is a full circle environment to allow things not just to go to landfill but to be passed on, which is a huge part of what we do.
Oh, that's incredible. So it's not just baby and toddler packages at all, bundles. It's actually you go way beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that page, it's everything under the sun you can think of goes up there. Toys, you know, living stuff, kitchen stuff, all kinds.
Okay, Tom, I think you and I need to join up. Okay. It sounds as if you have a real commitment to sustainability and recycling things and making sure that things don't go into landfill, but they actually get shared and reused again and again. So tell us about that.
Sustainability is a huge part of what we do. A lot of our stuff that we receive is secondhand, and so even if things do not meet our dignity standard, we try and repurpose them in other ways. So if there's pajamas that don't meet our mark, then we can cut off the buttons and use them for other things that may not have their full button set on there, so we're able to give that a new life. Also, we have ladies that are making bibs and burpa pads out of old clothing and stuff like that, and flannels, so that we can still continue that sustainable purpose.
So are these your actual volunteers, or are these just people out in the community doing that as another kind of informal way of contributing and supporting?
We have a bit of both. Yeah. We have a couple of our volunteers who will take stuff away and do that kind of stuff for us, which is amazing as well, to take on more additional volunteer hours to do these things for the community, to allow us to have these amazing things that we can give out to families. Mm. Tend to stay away from the edible items just because of the health and safety, and we also don't want to cross into the food bank area as well, because they already do such massive work in that space, and we don't want to cross over into that and duplicate what they're doing.
Though of course food banks are having a tough time, aren't they?
They're having a hugely tough time, and food rescue is a very essential need for our families as well that we see. We have families daily that food struggling in that area, and it's not nice to see that people are struggling for the bare essentials.
Clearly you're a wraparound service, Danny, and even though you can't actually fill all your clients' needs, you refer them to other organisations who might be able to help them?
Yes, that is a key part of being able to support the families and refer them to the right agencies that they need. We also have an amazing connection with the Aranui Trust at the moment. They have an early childhood person who takes them around to place them into ECE, which is amazing, and we've had a few of our clients that are able to go into that, which has been really nice to be able to see them get into that next stage of their childhood.
That's excellent. So that's ACTUS you're talking about, is it? Yeah, excellent. The Aranui Community Trust, yes. And they have a wonderful wraparound service too, don't they?
They have a beautiful service.
So you're working really closely with all of the different organisations in the local community.
Yes.
As well as across the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what did you do during COVID?
So during COVID, with the first lockdown in level 4, we were unable to do anything just due to the restrictions. But when we went to level 3, we were able to support families through the items that we had, because the likes of the warehouse and Kmart were still closed. So a lot of families' children had gone up in sizes, or they'd had babies during this time and they were unable to get the essentials that they needed. So myself and the other director at the time, we were switching bundles, because our baby and toddler bundles was originally under our own houses and our garages, and so babies was at my house in South Shore and toddler bundles was in Kaiapoi, and so we were meeting in the middle of nowhere switching the bundles so that we could deliver hundreds of bundles to the community because nobody was allowed to come to us. So at that point, we drove around to every single house to drop off the items.
Okay, so the baby and toddler bundles are obviously a big part of your service. Can you just tell us a bit more about each of those?
Yes, so baby and toddler bundles are our core service. We provide for families under five and for birth to the age of one, and then our toddler bundles go from one to the age of five. And in our toddler bundles, we provide basic essentials, so 7 to 10 days worth of clothing, including winter and summer, bedding, feeding items, hygiene products such as nappies, wipes, toothbrushes, toothpaste, toys, books, and then we also have our larger items, things like cots, bassinets, breast pumps, bottle sterilizers, all those kind of big ticket items that a lot of our families can't actually afford. And we're finding that those are a huge thing for a lot of our parents. We do have a humongous wait list for a lot of things, especially like things like our bottle sterilizers. We've got over 60 families on that list currently, and same with things like baby bags. It may not seem much, but to give a family a baby bag is also allowing them to go out with baby and do things instead of being stuck at home and not being able to take out like the essentials that they need, like the nappies and the spare change of clothes.
You just reminded me that I think I've got a really lovely one at home. So I can see where that's going now. So this is an incredible list, Danny. How do you decide, or do families come to you and say these are what they need, or do you just give them automatically a whole raft of all of these things, or what? I mean, how do you manage cots and all of these huge, large items?
So with our bundle, the applications are done online, so each family can pick and tailor pick what they want. In the very, very beginning, we did do bundles that had absolutely everything in them, but over time we found that there is not a need for some things. Also, a lot of our families are unable to take all of these things because some are in emergency housing and others have the stuff but only need, say, some new clothes for the family.
Right. So that was the baby pack we've dealt with, was it?
Bit of a...
Well, tell us more about the toddler one.
So toddler is similar to our baby one. It is age appropriate. So again, they can pick the 7 to 10 days worth of clothing, toys, books, single bedding or cot bedding if your little one's still in that stage, all that kind of stuff. It's the same, but it's tailored to make sure that it's age appropriate for each of the children.
Okay. Wow, that's incredible. And you are in demand by the sounds of it.
Yes.
And wandering around your premise next door because we're very lucky to have you as a neighbour, actually, Danny, which is great, out next to our city branch of CAB. So you've got absolutely thousands and thousands of items in there. How on earth do you make sense of it all?
It's awesome to have you guys as neighbours as well. We have absolutely loved having you guys next door to us. So all of our items are hand sorted by our volunteers that come in each week, and they are sorted to a dignity standard. So each of them are made sure that there's no holes, rips, staining, any of that kind of stuff. And then it's put away into what it is and also gendered out. But that is not to say that if you're having a baby and you want to have that surprise, we're more than happy to do a gender neutral bundle. And the same with our clients that have the children. If we have a little boy that loves to dress up in dresses, or we have a tom girl that really just likes to get rough and dirty, we're more than happy to accommodate those things to make sure that each bundle is special for that particular child.
Okay, well, that's really thoughtful. Just sort of thinking about this a bit further, where do you get all this equipment? Now, you talked a little bit earlier about sort of brokering and putting parts of the community together. How on earth do you access all of this equipment that other people might no longer need?
So we heavily use social media. A lot of our donations come from members of the public throughout Canterbury. We have drop-off point volunteers all over Canterbury, so it's easily more accessible for our families to be able to donate where they can. We also have some amazing sponsors that have helped us over the years. Recently, literally this week, Pigeon Baby has just given us some brand new sippy cups for our families and some sunscreen, which is absolutely amazing because those new products are definitely harder to come by, especially our single-use consumables like nappies and wipes and stuff. The clothing is majority secondhand. It is also gone through to make sure that it is top quality for our families so that they have that dignity.
So there, you need a lot of space, I would think, to actually be able to house all of this equipment and clothing and so on. So how do you manage all of that?
So currently we're in 120 squares, and I could definitely say that we could double that very, very easily. But it is also maintaining that the items that are coming in are also going out. So making sure that we are asking for the right items from the community if we need it, because there's no point in things sitting on a shelf forever. We make sure that if we have an overstock of something, that we're sharing it around other agencies that do similar things to us to make sure that everybody gets what they need.
Okay, that's interesting. So who's eligible to actually use your service, Danny?
So anyone in the Canterbury region is. We are non-judgmental and there's no means testing. It is the parent and caregiver that we ask that applies. Anybody in the Canterbury region can. We ask from 28 weeks of pregnancy for our baby bundles that you can apply from then for your bundle. And it is one bundle per child per year. But within that year, families can come back for a clothing only bundle, because we do understand that kids grow within a year, and also within our baby bundles there is five sizes, so a lot of our families can't take that away. We also have referrals through agencies, so any agencies, social workers or support workers are also able to apply for their clients as well, and they can pick up on their behalf or the client can pick up themselves.
Okay, so that's great. So self-referral right the way through to being referred. I'm just wondering how many families you actually manage to support over, for example, over a year?
So over a year, this year alone, we have supported over 600 families already in the last financial year.
Wow.
We see on average between 60 to 70 families a month. But for some months, like September through to November, we had 100 applications for each month. So it really does depend on who needs help at that point in time.
So what happens when your list is too long to actually support those families? What do you do then? How do you decide what families will get that support?
So we don't turn anyone away. They go onto our wait list, and then we will keep contacting the families to make sure that they're still in need. We also tell them where other agencies are, such as Clothed and Love and Pips, who also support in the same area we do.
Right. So the organisations you work most closely with are?
Pips, Plunkett, Ngā Matawaka. We do get referrals from them quite a lot. We share resources with Pips and also other agencies like Oranga, Tamariki. We do see Christchurch Resettlement Services come through as well. So it's a raft of different agencies that are supporting families within the community themselves.
So it really is living the It Takes a Village, which is fantastic, because it means everyone's working together to support. So what makes the work that you do sort of different from other organisations, or is it very similar to PIPS? And
there is always a difference between all of us, that different agencies within the same realm, we all run differently. And I think we highlight each other and how we work together as well. We also do make sure that there's no judgment passed. We do a genuine village approach so that we know that the families are wrapped around and make sure that the dignity is maintained, as well as the support, and making sure that there's no judgment felt for if you need a bundle. There's no questions that are asked as to why you need it or anything about your situation that you don't want to divulge.
It sounds as if this is an extraordinary service, really, because we know how expensive it is to raise a child. It sounds like the support you give is incredible and probably very much needed. Yeah. Okay, so what is it then that gives you the most satisfaction? Because it sounds like you're incredibly busy.
We are. We're always incredibly busy, even in what feels like our slow times. I love seeing the weight lifted off our family's shoulders, and the fact that they are able to come and get help without needing to explain themselves. It's being able to help our families give them that helping hand to know that they are supported and that they are loved and that they are cared for, even with just a box of stuff that is essential and should be given to every child.
So do you have returning families? You must build really good relationships with a lot of families over time, over 5 years.
Yes. There have been a lot of familiar faces over the time, and we love being able to see the kids grow and watch the families grow and watch their lives unfold and see the positive aspects of what we're doing in the community, helping them onto the next stage of their life.
Now, Danny, you said we. So who is we? And obviously you, and you have the task of running the show, really, I guess. Well, who else do you have to support you in?
We have an amazing team of volunteers. I could not do what I do without them. They come in on our days that we're open, sorting, making bundles, making sure everything's running smoothly, talking to clients, all of it, and they are just the backbone of what we do. We couldn't do it without them in any way, shape or form.
So you're a volunteer-run organisation pretty well. Yeah, and I guess funding is a challenge.
Yes, the funding world is always a fun part of being a not-for-profit. Yes. It is definitely the hardest part of being a not-for-profit is raising funds. We are 99% is grants for our operationals. A lot of our stuff, physical stuff, comes from the community. But yes, the grant world is always the fun part.
I think not-for-profits struggle universally with that, yes, for sure. So what other challenges do you face?
The volunteer hours, we are a small team. We always need more people on our board, always need more volunteers coming in and helping out, drop-off points, all of that kind of stuff, as well as funding. It can be hard in that world. There is not as much money as there used to be in the grant world, and we are seeing a lot of grants being scaled back to what we're used to.
Yes, I think that most organisations are facing that now. So it sounds as if you rely a great deal on people paying things forward. And what kinds of goods and furniture and stuff do you have the most need for? Just changing tack for a moment, because I'm pretty sure there are families out there who've got stuff stashed away in a garage who probably don't quite know what to do with it. So what kinds of things are you looking for?
Definitely looking for clothing. We range from prem right through to size 5 kids clothing. Our size 3 to 5 kids clothing is always hard to come by because little ones go through their knees and like to get rough and dirty with their clothes. So we're always, always looking for those sizes, especially our consumables like nappies and wipes and breast pads. The one-time use items are the hard ones because they are that one-time use. And also our larger items, because we do have a big wait list across all of our larger items, so cots, bassinets, high chairs, breast pumps, bottle sterilisers, all that kind of stuff is very hard to come by as well because it is such a long life use instead of a short-term use, right. So we find them a lot harder to come by.
Right. In terms of some of those items, like the single-use items, are there businesses that support you with some of those and donations?
Yes, we do. We definitely have a few that come across. We've had support from the warehouse, the wonderful warehouse. We've also had help from the Freemasons. They have raised funds for us, and we've been able to purchase a whole bunch of new items, which has been wonderful. Also, Pigeon Baby, who I mentioned earlier,
yes.
And also Silk Wipes as well. We've recently been donated some of them as well, which has been awesome.
Excellent. So how can people contact you? Because it sounds to me as if you would really love some more volunteers, possibly, as well as, of course, donated, you know, goods so that you can share those with families. What's the best way to get in touch with you, Danny?
So the best way to get in touch with us is through our email, info@itav.org.nz, or pop in and see us on between Tuesday and Friday, 9 till 2 at 133 Brighton Mall, and we're there.
Okay, that's excellent. So, is there anything else you wanted to share with us that we haven't had a chance to chat about?
So we also do at the end of the year a Christmas initiative. So we supply families in the community who would not be having Christmas with the chance for a little bit of Christmas magic through our Elf in the Village. How it works is we have members of the community who put their hand up to say that they'll sponsor a child or a few children and buy Christmas presents for them. And we did that last year. We've done it for the past 3 years. So last Christmas, we were able to support 245 families and 647 children through this initiative, was amazing.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It was our biggest year. We've done it for the past 3 years, and that was absolutely insane. But we were so grateful for the generosity that was through these people that became our elves in the village, because it was the amount of presents and the support that they gave these families was just beautiful.
Well, the amount of support you're giving these families is incredible. So, Danny, it's been wonderful to have you with us today. We appreciate the wonderful mahi that your organisation does to support whānau and their tamariki over those first five very special but pretty challenging years, I reckon. So on a personal note, as I said, we love having you as a neighbour, so thank you for that. And we certainly value working alongside you and seeing how in demand your service is. Frankly, I don't know how you find the time to go home at night. So thank you for joining me and Tom today. Today, Danny's outlined the way in which It Takes a Village helps families with their under fives and everything else. The organisation provides free and very tangible support in the form of both baby and toddler bundles, which include all the necessities that families need to clothe and equip their tamariki in the preschool years. But that's not all they do. For more information, just check out their excellent website, itav.org.nz, as Danny said. It also includes an excellent list of other organisations supporting young families, and it offers information about how you can contribute to their service through volunteering your time, donating your baby clothes, knitting, and all of that equipment that's cluttering up your garage. So thanks to our guest today, and finally, thanks for listening, everyone. Until next month, mā te wā. Just a reminder that this show can be found as a podcast. Just go to the Plains website and look for Cab on Air. In the meantime, if you're looking for information on any topic, but especially if they relate to your rights in New Zealand, you can contact us at Cab, in person, by phone, emails, and through our website, and a lot of other ways as well, I think. We provide verifiable, accurate, and confidential information to help you understand what your next steps should be. So tune in next month when we'll highlight another organisation providing information and support within our community. Kia ora, thank you for listening. Until next time, mā te wā.